Hi, my name is Dan Fernandez. I'm a program manager on the Azure Tools team. In this video, we're going to show how you can build multi-container applications. In other words, what we want to do is spin up not just one container, but multiple containers and how those containers can interact. So let's just go ahead and show our first example, which is Nginx. So Nginx is a proxy and has a number of different features. It's available open source. And we could, of course, run Nginx in a virtual machine. But since we're showing off containers, what we're going to do is use the pre-built Nginx container for us, have that be ready on port 80, and then have a very simple app that we're going to load balance across different ports, say port 81, 82, 83. In addition to being a proxy, of course, Nginx has a number of ways that it can actually load balance across websites, add a certain weight, add based on number of connections, and so on. But the real key here is we're going to have one container, show how to actually use a container directly from the Docker Hub, add my own configuration file, and split those into three containers, and actually show things like the machine name so you can see what's going on in your container. So let's just go ahead and just jump right in. So I'll switch back, and I have my Hello World web here, and let me switch projects. So here's kind of our Nginx website. And what I want to do is maybe let's just show our Nginx configuration file. So if you go to, let's open up another browser and go to hub.docker.com and search for Nginx, you'll see the image that we've already pulled down. So let's do a search for Nginx. These are, of course, my projects. This is the official Nginx image. And this gives us all the information that we need to know for how Nginx needs to be set up and configured. We can, of course, as we showed before, do a number of things, mount a volume to set our configuration file. In our case, what I've done is actually burned the configuration file, if you will, directly into our image, so that way we don't have to remember about copying the configuration file. There's certainly either way you can do it. The hyphen V here is basically telling us if you want, as so long as you mount that volume in the container, you can change and communicate back using the file share and change that configuration dynamically. But just for simplicity, and of course this will fail if you do forget to include your Nginx config file. For simplicity, I'm burning this directly into the container, and I can even, of course, override it if I want to later. But what we're doing is, here's my virtual machine, and I'm going to just start up different ASP.NET apps on each of these different ports. Now, I'm going to switch back to the portal. And again, this is for demonstration purposes, because one of the nice things is we have what's called load balance sets that allows me to do the same thing Nginx does, to load balance across, even across different points on the same virtual machine. But we do want to just show Nginx. And I have already built a couple of ports. So port 80 is where Nginx is going to listen to. Then we're going to spin up three different ones on 81, 82, and 83. OK, so let's just go back to this config. Here are the three, quote, servers that we're going to be listening to. We're going to have a total number of worker connections. And you don't have to be an Nginx expert here. But this is the real command that says proxy pass, go to the definition of this upstream, which we defined here. So ASP.NET Linux goes through here. And by default, it'll round robin across these three. So there's our real simple example. Let's actually go ahead and jump to the command line. And what we'll do is just go cd, and let's just jump to that folder where we set our Nginx. And I think it's, I really just should have done this a little easier. So dir, there's our Nginx, cd Nginx, dir. So we see our simple Docker file and the Nginx conf that we've been looking at. Let's just notepad that Docker file so you'll see that there's nothing magical here. We take that base image that I showed you in the repository, and I'm going to copy Nginx conf to this folder, which is the location that Nginx is going to look for its configuration. So we've already done the build. So what I'm going to do now is just show a couple of examples to run this. So the thing we're going to connect to in load balance is another ASP.NET app before we actually start building these containers. So, and this is, all I've done is build a file new website. I'm using Razor, and I'm going to do environment.machine name, because I want to see what the machine name is, and actually see that change as we load balance across those. And now, what's interesting here is it's not going to give me the machine name of the virtual machine. It's going to give me the machine name of the container, which will be that container hash. Nothing in home controller, just when a page comes in, load up that machine name. And one thing we are going to do, because we've already built this image one time, but remember, we hard-coded this, or when we did a Docker build, we set this as port 80. So now what we need to do is show how you can build a new instance of this image and override these values. So let's just go ahead and switch to our entry point override example here and show exactly how to do that. So I'm going to copy and paste, and we'll walk through this kind of step by step. So I'm going to paste. We do our, and there it's already up. Okay, we do our TLS to connect securely. We do our run. And these are the TTY, which is, again, just for Kestrel, detached. And Kestrel is what's going to be listening, of course, and we've gone through this in some of the other videos. The port we're going to listen to is 81. And now what I do is hyphen hyphen entry point, and tell me what thing to call and what parameters to call. So the first thing is entry point. DNX is the thing I'm going to call, and Nginx web is the name of the image. So if we do a Docker TLS image, we should see Nginx web. This is the thing I'm doing, I'm calling, which is corresponds to this exact, the build of this thing, the built image from this Docker image that we, Docker file that we saw before. So what we're doing is overriding, I want you to use that image, and then you pass in the parameters. And the reason you do this is kind of, you pass in the image, and then you can pass in as many parameters as you want. So use the app base, Kestrel, and really it's the exact same thing we saw before, except it's now going to change to 81. So the exact same thing that you saw here are now passed in as parameters to in Docker run to override them. So let me just copy paste. It's the exact same thing, just changing all the ports to 82, 83. Let's do a paste. And let's switch over here one more time, and we'll have three versions of this ASP.NET app running. Now, of course, I could talk to each one individually. Let's just do make sure they're all there. Do a PS, and I see 6 seconds, 19 seconds, and a minute ago. So clearly, I was not that fast at typing. Now, I want to load balance across those. So what I'm going to do is do another command to actually call Nginx and the Nginx proxy image that I built earlier. This is the exact command I ran. Just for simplicity, I'm not going to do it again. But I do the file location for the Docker file that we showed on Notepad earlier. And then the working directory. And what that'll do is, of course, go to here and say, oh, I need to copy over this config file. This config file gets burned into our image. And of course, if we wanted to, we can mount the volume, but you just have to remember to always have that file actually on the volume of the virtual machine for it to, of course, work. So let's build that image. Run that image. So I'm just going to copy paste from here and click paste. Okay, so if we do a PS, we should see 4 containers. Great, our Nginx proxy is the proxy that's going to load balance across these 3. Okay, with all of our containers going on, what we can do is just go over to our browser. Let's open up a new, let's maybe try this one. Linux Azure Docker, the request is being received. And now instead of the machine name, let's look at that 1219. And we're looking for 1219. 1219. So that's the request that it was served, the first request by number 82. Let's click refresh. And this should pull in a different machine name, CED. And we'll just keep going, 377. So we've seen all three, CED, 377. And again, the machine name is corresponding to the actual container ID. So pretty simple example, but it shows us the power of being able to take an image from the Docker Hub, reuse that piece of software, and actually show load balancing across multiple websites. So in this demo, what I want to show is how you can use Redis as a simple cache and show how to link two containers to communicate with each other. So to do that, I have a project called Redis Linked Container here. And what we're going to do is just show some real basic things within our container. In ASP.NET 5, of course, I have my home controller. And I'm using ServiceStack.Redis, which is a library from NuGet that actually works on Mono. And what I'm going to do, and let me just full screen this, just so we can easily see kind of what's going on. I have a, this is the key for a message. I'm going to basically be setting key value pairs in Redis. So when this home page loads, you're going to see this thing called environment get environment variable. So normally what you saw, and even in our Nginx demo, we were kind of hard coding data. When we do what's called a linked container, which is there's two containers, and they're both going to, there's going to be a link where in the second one, the web one is going to link to a Redis one, I automatically get these magical environment variables that tell me the address of that specific port. Now, linking containers only works on a single virtual machine, so you have container one, container two, talking to each other. Rather than me having to hard code this value, I can dynamically read this environment variable and know exactly how to, this is the connection string, if you will, to be able to create a connection to that Redis client. So this, at this point, is, we now know dynamically, just by using the link, how to connect up. We use the Redis client, and we use set, you tell me what key, the key is called message, and I'm just going to set hello world. I set it, and then what I'm going to do is then make another call to get. So this writes to Redis, this reads from Redis. So get me the key that I just set, and then I'm going to set it to a view bag. Now, just to kind of see, because we talked about those environment variables, what I'm going to show you is this linking by doing get environment variables and passing that into our model. So let's actually show or passing that into our view, this real simple model, if you will. So it's going to be of type dictionary, and it's just key value pairs. One is we're just displaying the message from Redis, and we're going to just for each of those environment variables, give me the key and the value for that dictionary. So real simple, we go just starting from the top again, call our homepage, dynamically figure this out because we're using a linked container, create a new Redis client, set it, read it out, and then send me back a dictionary of every environment variable so we can actually see what's going on when we link those. Now, to actually run this is the key thing we want to do, and you know, I've been using the command line quite a bit, but you can of course edit our PowerShell. So we have a new tool in PowerShell. It's actually an open source contribution for PowerShell that gives us all the detail that we want for the actual PowerShell. And if you don't have it installed here, it will, but includes, you know, all the wonderful things that you can imagine, including breakpoints and debugging, which is pretty awesome. So in this case, all I want to do is really just find our Docker run, or actually let's search for Redis. So this is our normal PowerShell file that we ran a little bit before. And what I do is I have two common things that I do. I either print the command string so that I can see it in my log, or I execute a command string. And in this case, I'm going to call a new command, and I'm going to tell it to run something with the name of RedisDB. And here the name is important because that's what I'm going to do to refer to link to this. So remember, the first thing I'm going to do is link my database, the RedisDB, and then I'm going to start my web container and using that name as for the link. So the image type I'm going to be using is called Redis, and I've made no changes to this Docker file at all. So this is basically what's going to run. The 0, by the way, is the auth, which is the TLS, and the 1 is the URL to our Docker server. Okay, so step 1 was creating our Redis container. So now our Redis container is running, and now what I've done is just added a very simple thing here called link. So you can see link, we have our RedisDB colon Redis. And what that's going to do is when I create, it's the same thing as running this line on the command line. And I call this Redis link sample from the build. But this link will just doing this will automatically populate those environment variables in this container so that connection string will actually work. So what I'm going to do is go up to our project, right click, publish again, and I'm not doing anything fancy here. What's actually going to happen is it's going to, of course, execute my PowerShell script, and I'll see it in there, and now it's going to not just create one container, but create two containers and create a link between those two containers. So I'll give this a second to go ahead and run. We see our data passing over. We see our Docker command. It's creating, and now this is going to just basically spin up our website, to give it a couple attempts to spin up our website here. Great. So now it's spun up our website. So what do we see here? That's our from Redis message that we saw where we did the get and set. And now these are all the environment variables defined. And notice a couple of them. These were dynamically populated because we did that link. So rather than me needing to know the exact address of the Redis server, I'm able to read this information directly in. I can do, for example, much more dynamic rather than me burning into my code a specific environment variable. This allows a really easy way when you're linking containers to be able to share information so I can talk to the Redis container without knowing maybe the IP address changes using environment variables to do this. In this video, we got to show how you can use Nginx as a load balancer across multiple containers and how to use linked containers to use Redis and a website and dynamically inject environment variables so we can communicate across two containers. In future videos, we'll cover things like Windows Server containers as well as the orchestration and clustering containers from open source and third-party tools. Thanks.